Let's do me one favor. Think of something God has done for you that you know no one else could have done. And why don't you stand on your feet and give him your best praise? I mean, your best praise. Hallelujah. Give him your drummer. Give him your best praise. Give him everything you got. He's worth it. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We bless you, Father. We give you glory. No one can do us like you can. So we put our hands together. We open our mouths. We lift our voices because you're worthy of the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You can take your seat, just before you do, why don't you just look at somebody and say, I'm glad to see you. God's been good to me. Man, he's been good to me. No doubt about it. Looks like he's been good to you too. No doubt about it. He has been so good, and you know, I thank him for his goodness. I appreciate you all. I've been praying for you this week. We'll continue to do so. If you're here for your first time, can I just see your hand? I won't make you stand up, won't put you on blast. Man, what a blessing. Put your hands together for those that are here for your first time. After service, we'll have one of our leaders meet with you, if you desire, in our family room, and we would love to tell you more about the ministry and find out more about you, just so we can help you grow. Our whole desire is for you to grow in the things of God. So I'm excited about what God is doing. So just to update you on a couple of things. First of all, man, the team last week did an amazing job on drama presentation and children and all the different things and the ones working behind the scenes. We appreciate you so much. You are such a blessing. And I thank God for my staff. I don't say enough about them, but man, they do an amazing job. That's during the week. And also on the weekend, if Miss Jan is here and I see Sarge back there, I appreciate all of them. Man, you guys do. And Richard, he comes at 8 o'clock service. All of you all. And I know I'm missing somebody when I start calling names. But man, I can't forget Ken Porter. Ken has stuck with me, and I appreciate him. So I'm going to send a shout out. I hope he's listening. I appreciate all of you. Man, God is so good. So I've got a message for you that I want to share from my heart. But just before I do, I want to let you know that we've got a couple of upcoming things. Of course, on our website, you'll be able to find out about them. And that's at www.abundantfaith.org. It will absolutely be a blessing to you. But one of the things that we have coming up, I've partnered with several other churches and to do a 3-day revival. And you know that Pastor Daw says, yes, we have not done revival per se, but we like every service to be a revival. So we have several churches that come together. And I will let you know before you get here, it's going to be kind of like a Pentecostal revival, because I've connected with Pentecostal brothers. So I'm just letting you know so you won't come in and see people shouting and hands going in the air. You say, where are we? I'm just letting you know. It's going to be a good time. My brother is one of them. And again, it's amazing that my mom had 9 of us and five girls, all in ministry, somehow connected to the pastorate. And I've got 3 other brothers, right? And of those 3, 2 of them are pastoring as well. And then, you know, they are super loud and demonstrative. I am the quietest one in my family, if you can believe it. And I thought something was wrong because I was so quiet. But God will use you in whatever way, in whatever capacity he wants to use you. And I praise God and I give him glory. But you're going to see the other side of the family. We've got a couple of individuals coming, just so you know. Larry Lee, he's a author, evangelist. He's from the St. Louis area. He'll be here. Wrote the book, Could You Not Pray With Me 1 Hour? So he's quite the author. He's a fantastic man of God. And then we've got the parents of Michael Todd. A lot of you all have heard Michael Todd's one of the most well-known speakers in the United States. His parents are coming. So it's amazing. It's going to be a good time. And that is next month, 19th, 20th, and 21st. So it's going to be a blessing. And now, on the other side, we're going to be doing some community things also next month. You'll hear more about it, but we're in Ward 2. So we're going to go outside and clean up. So it's called, it's kind of like a community cleanup. So you'll hear more about that too. So thank God for you. And I'm so glad you're just as excited about picking up paper and sticks and wash machines as you are the other thing. And I'm actually excited about sharing this word with you today. I absolutely am. So let's read the scripture and let's prepare. I've been praying for you this week. I have been praying for you. And I kind of know where some of you sit, so I intercede specifically and sometimes call out your name specifically. And sometimes God will place you on my heart because you're going through something. And I'll just intercede, because you do know that Jesus is our intercessor. You know, he stands in the gap for us. He intercedes for us day and night. Isn't that nice to know? Thank you, God, that when we're in the midst of something, we're not by ourselves, but he's interceding on our behalf. Thank you, God. Even when we mess up, and I'm gonna get to the message, even when we mess up and fall short, and then Jesus says, yeah, God, but you know I died for him. You know, I paid the price for them. The scripture says that in the book of Revelation, there's an accuser of the brethren who accuses us night and day before God, but the intercessor, Jesus Christ himself, intercedes on our behalf. Give him a praise right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, you know, the past 4 weeks, we've been talking about the power of the resurrection. Say it with me, the power of the resurrection. So we've been talking about this amazing resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead, this amazing resurrection power that defeated Satan. I like this too, death and the grave. That sounds good. He defeated Satan, death and the grave, the same power that scoffed at death and got in death's face and said, grave, where's your victory? And death, where's your sting? You thought you couldn't hold me. I like that. The same power that led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. The same power that disarmed principalities and made a spectacle of them. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm about to preach myself happy. I ain't even got started good. But I'm just talking about that same power. Hallelujah, Jesus. Here's the kicker. In the book of Romans, 8th chapter, and the 10th through the 11th verse, and this is, I'm reading from the NLT, and it just says this, and they'll have it on the screen, and I want you to read it with me when we get to the next verse. It says, I want you to start with me. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from, I said, read with me. Oh, it's not up there? 8:10, is that 10 up there? All right, and that's the NLT version, so I know we talked. And it must not be. Or maybe I'm reading wrong. So maybe you need to listen. We're starting off real good, so you know it's going to be a good word. Here's what it says. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ, Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you. How many of you are, let's pray before I go. God, we thank you for your word. We bless you for your word. We honor you for your word. I thank you, God, for everyone that is in this room today. For you have a word that you want to speak to us. So have your way, we pray, and we ask it in Jesus' name. And we say amen. Give him one more round of applause, and we'll get into the word. When I read this passage, and if I were to ask anyone in the room, you know, did God raise Jesus from the dead? Was the power of God, the resurrection power that we read about in the scripture, was it in Jesus? We would say, yes, absolutely. Does that power exist that Jesus could do anything, including get up from the grave? We would say, yes. Is that power in him? We would believe it without a doubt. Wouldn't even hesitate. Yes. Do you believe Jesus got out of the grave? Yes. And then we'd ask the question, do you believe that same power is in you? Yes. Oh, you all surprised me. A few people in the house said, yes. Others said, I don't know. I never heard that one before. I struggle with this as well. That's why we dealt with identity last Sunday, because we struggle with our identity based upon what we did, whether we did well or whether we did poorly. We link ourselves to that identity-wise, and that's why some people, you know, they look at you and they for example, even the scripture, you know, Bartimaeus was blind and they named him blind Bartimaeus. Thomas doubted one little time. That's listed in the scripture. But they labeled him what? Doubting Thomas. I told a lie when I was little. At least one. And I remember that, you are such a liar. I'll tell you one that I told, I got me in trouble. I'm talking about, this is you, son, anyway. You know, with nine of us, we have to figure out things to do. We didn't have all the things that you do with your thumb. So, and all the other stuff. So we would make up games. I happened to be we had two walls that were fairly close. So I was like scaling it, going up. Can you imagine? You know, you got 1 foot over here, 1 foot over here, and you're going up the wall. And my parents had just bought this, it's a stereo. So you know those big stereos, big enough for people to get inside, those big ones. And I was climbing the wall, and I fell. And I fell on top of it. And a leg broke. Yeah, I didn't even care about falling. But the leg broke. And I'm not sure if you ever wonder what you should do and you prop the leg back under it and act like didn't nothing happen. Man, I propped the leg and I didn't know my parents were gonna come home shortly after that, and they had company with them. And you do know that they were showing them the stereo. And the stereo said, ploop. And I'm not sure if you've ever had one of those moments that you wanted to do like Adam and hide, cover up. They were saying, Wayne, I know it was you. Who broke it? But I literally thought something was wrong with me because I made so many mistakes. Am I by myself? That's only two or three in the house. Okay. And I thought something was literally wrong with me because I did so much stuff. And, I had to learn later on in life that just because you made a mistake, you are not a mistake. Just because you told a lie, you are not a liar. Because if any man be in Christ, he is what? New creation, new creature. Old things, old Jerry Wayne is past, and behold, all things have become new. I'm not that person I used to be because I've been changed. My Father has changed me. A new seed has been planted in my heart. Now I'm of the seed of my Father, which is a holy seed. Thank you, Jesus. I need to hear that. I needed to hear that. And I, if there's anything that I want to make sure that we establish over and over again, that we pour into our children and tell them who they are in Christ Jesus, that they are the righteousness of God in Christ. I don't care what mistake you made. That is not you. Who you are who God's word says that you are. You can do whatever God's word says you can do. Man, oh man, give him one more praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. So the Bible says that regardless of what you've done and who people said you are, the things they said about you, the Bible says that I trust you so much that I'm going to put the Spirit of God on the inside of you, the same power that raised my son Jesus from the dead. I'm depositing it on the inside of you. You are my investment. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I get excited when I read that. So God gives me these three. And I guess if I was to give a first point, and this won't be on the screen either because it's my bad too, but I didn't give it to him. I just want you to write down and say this, the same Spirit lives in me. Write it down as a note. The same power is in me. I want you to live like that. I mean, not just hear it, but you need to hear it over and over again until it gets on the inside of you, till you recognize, you know, who you are, what you have, and what you can accomplish in the things of God. And yeah, there's a champion within you. Thank you, Jesus. We celebrate him. We said, he's our champion. The same spirit that raised a champion is the same spirit that's on inside of you. Amen. Now, how many of you know you need to hear that on occasions? Especially when you get battle tested. That means the enemy comes against you and tries to knock every bit of faith out of you that he possibly can. He tries to tell you, you will not accomplish, you will not stand under this pressure. He says, you're about to lose your mind. I want you to know that regardless of what happens and what the enemy says, you are who God says you are. And give him praise if you believe it. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So God gave me three words, and those three words I'm going to share with you. The first one is revelation. So it simply is this, is that, you know, we will walk and operate in revelation, and I would call it the power of the resurrection, when we receive the revelation of the truth. You know, and how does that look? A good example is when Jesus was talking to Peter, and he was saying, Peter, you know, who do men say that I am? And then Peter goes on, and he says, Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter begins to talk, they begin to talk some more and some more. And then he says, no, but talk to me. He says, you know, Elijah, you know, you're this one, that one. He says, no, you tell me. It's on the inside of you. Who do you say that I am? Then Peter, something happens on the inside of him, something that he already had in him. And then he says, thou art the Christ, son of the living God. You know what Jesus says to him? You know, blessed art thou, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. This is not from the flesh. These are not from the flesh receptors. This is not from the flesh realm. But this was the Holy Spirit gave you that. How many of you know that there's a spirit realm and there's a flesh realm, and you've got to become sensitive to the spirit realm? Are you here today? And he says, blessed are you, because the flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but the Spirit of God revealed that to you. I listened to some of our youth, our children, talk, and I say, wow, that was a spirit that just spoke to them. Even kids at a young age, it's on the inside of them. Adults, sometimes there's something in you, and you want to say it, but you say, the flesh be holding you down. Don't say it. You know it ain't going to happen. The Spirit said, open your mouth and say it anyway. You want to get up and say, I don't care what it looks like. God is going to show himself strong in my situation. I had one of those moments a few weeks ago, and I opened my mouth. And you know, as soon as you open your mouth about what you see and what God is saying, that the enemy is going to try to come against you. But you've got to recognize that God, thank you. That's why he wants you to open your mouth and speak it. Because if you speak it, then you're going to, you know, that's why people don't say, you know, that they would rather talk about what they can't do and how, you know, how bad things are, as opposed to speaking what God's word says. Because when you speak what God's word says, now there's power. Death and life lies where? So if you just open your mouth and speak what God's word says, there's power in that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I was watching, you know, Simba and Mufasa. And it's a super spiritual show, super spiritual. I'm just saying. I got so much revelation after I watched it. I absolutely did, because I saw myself on occasions like Simba. You know, why like Simba? Because, you know, Simba knew that the kingdom would be his one day, and he would walk in the authority of the kingdom. But the enemy, Scar, the devil, ugly face, scarred up face, came at Simba and told him a lie. Told him, you're the reason this happened. You know, you're bad, and you need to leave the kingdom and go by yourself. And what the problem is when we believe the lie of the enemy. The enemy been telling us some big old lies. Can I get a witness? And if we agree with the lie, we'll never walk in kingdom authority. Why? We believe the lie. Well, what is a lie? You'll never be healed. What is a lie? You'll never walk in authority. What is a lie? You'll never get out of the debt. What is a lie? God is, the enemy is going to destroy your family. What is the lie? You know, you name it, the enemy will tell you all kind of lies. You cannot agree with him, because if you do, you'll go on an island like Simba did, blame yourself, hold your head down. But you've got to come against the lie, because the enemy is a liar from the beginning. Are you with me today? So Simba goes on and head down, feeling sorry for himself. And can I let you know that that's dangerous? And I knew I was going to share this. I'm not sure how many, you know, teenagers may be watching online or whatever. But, you know, I want us to come against the spirit of what would it be? It would be self-pity, because self-pity turns into self-hate. And then self-hate, you know, you begin to want to cut yourself and do things, to do terrible things just because you don't like yourself. So it goes from self-pity to self-hate to self-destruction. You know, it doesn't even matter if I live or die. Why don't I just take my life? You need to come against those lies with the quickness. Are you with me in the house today? Parents, we need to be aware of the lies of the enemy. So when our children start talking that stuff, we need to combat it with the Word of God. Somebody give God real good praise. He's a good God. Thank you, Lord. You know, and I know sometimes you will begin to feel sorry for ourselves, man. And I know it's natural from the human standpoint, but you got to get out of that place quickly. You cannot afford to stay in that place of self-pity. You all know anybody that's in self-pity? Not in the church. Don't look around. But I'm just saying, if you know somebody that's there, you know, let them, you know, don't beat them down. You. But let them know it's okay. We understand this place, but you can't stay there. You know, that's not a place you can stay. Thank you, Jesus. So this same power lives on the inside of us. So we need revelation of the truth. What does that look like? The Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what he says. I am the truth. If you want to find the truth, you've got to look at me. And I love this other passage. It says, I love this passage. It says that all creation eagerly awaits for the sons of God to get the revelation of who they are. What does that mean? That means that we walk in a tremendous authority, but we need the revelation of who we are. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In other words, we need to recognize who we are, our identity. And guess what? You know, this is not as a note, but it's a good place to take a note. Truth is not based upon your feelings or other people's opinion of you. Say it with me. Truth is not based upon my feelings, nor what other people think about me. You need to say, okay, that's your opinion, and you got a right to your opinion. You do. And I know I feel like this, but I'm not living according to my feelings. And I'm not going to agree with the enemy with what he says about me, but I'm going to agree with what God says about me. Thank you, Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am above only and not beneath. I will walk in supernatural power and the authority that God has placed on the inside of me. So I remember this, and y'all see, going back to Lion King, just one more time. So how did Simba get out of it? You know, Simba believed the lie for a long time, and Simba grew, and so forth and so on. And some of y'all say, well, Pastor, you know, you're talking Simba to us, you know, but again, folks, this is Youth Sunday, so the older people, you just listening in, that's all. So Simba was going through this. He had gotten stronger and so forth and so on. And his father had already passed, and now he was in this place of disgracement. But what happened is that he received this revelation, and the revelation came when he actually was, I guess it would be, his father showed himself, the king showed himself in a vision and says, Simba. I don't know if he said exactly like that. But he speaks, and then he says, don't forget who you are. How many of us need to be reminded of who we are? I think the church in this last hour, we need to be reminded of who we are. Why is our head down? The psalmist says, why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your trust in God. He's the lifter of my head. You know, when I would be down and low, I can run to a rock that's higher than I am. Are you with me today? Somebody give him a shout in this place. Well, Simba got his roar back. Y'all said our pastor is crazy. I'm trying to make the point clear. Some of y'all need to get y'all roar. Y'all meowing like a kitten. Meow. Get your roar back. But you got to know who you are. I don't care what it looks like. Who's tried to come against you? Who's talked about you? Who said this about you? You know who you are because you know whose you are. You are Christ's. He lives on the inside of you. And you are children of God. Give him one more praise. Thank you, God. So we need a revelation. And I can almost take this time. Revelation is different than information. Information is, if you will, information is like, okay, I have mental assent of a truth. Revelation is, now I know what to do with it. It came to life on the inside of me. It exploded on the inside of me. I know this, what this means. It's like we were at the restaurant. I won't say any names because, but we were at the restaurant, and one of my grandchildren said, because I gave that person some money, and they said, I've got this much in the bank already. Now, if I add this amount with this amount, how much am I going to have? You know, in school we learn 1 + 1 = 2, but the revelation of it is altogether different. We can memorize 1 + 1 = 2, but the application of it is, oh, I can apply this to my life. Now when somebody gives me some money, I'm going to add this plus this. And then if I want to get this much, that means this is how much I need to collect in order for me to have this point. Now, how many of you all know it's important? That's why some people did not like story problems, because they didn't mind memorizing. But no, you need to know how we're going to apply this. How many of you all like story problems? Let's see, that's what I thought. Memorizing is one thing. We can memorize 6 × 6 = 36, 5 × 5 = 25, 8 × 8 = 64, and we can memorize that. But then when it comes time for you to put it application to it, and that's why some people you hire, they don't have a clue about critical thinking or problem solving. I'm preaching now. Y'all don't have to say amen or not. I don't care what degree you have. You know, if you don't have revelation of what it's like to do things, you have no clue. You're thinking about, and you graduated from where? I'm going to move on. Y'all go. So we need application of the truth. Say it with me, application of the truth. And here's what James 1:21 says. It says this. It says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. In other words, he's saying that you need to not only know what the word says, and even with revelation and information, but then you need to turn that into action and be a doer of the word. So after you hear the word that I'm sharing with you today, you become, what's the word, responsible for applying what you've heard. Are y'all with me? Thank you, Jesus. Now that you know who you are in Christ, you know that the enemy's under your feet. Get out of pity party. The resurrection power lives on the inside of you. Stop whining. It's getting quiet in the whining section. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. It says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his face in the mirror. For he observes himself and then immediately forgets what kind of man he is after he sees and gets revelation. Then he forgets about that. I like NLT, it says this, but do not just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. I like this. For if you listen to the word of God and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. It says, you see yourself and walk away and forget what you look like. I want us to look in the mirror. And I said this last time I was going to reference Simba. There's one more thing. Simba went to see his reflection. That's why I know a lot of these stories you hear, and you'll look at them too. They went right to the word. He looked in the water. It was water there. And he began to talk to himself. Sometimes I talk to myself looking in the mirror. Say, Jerry Wayne, you are who God says you are. Jerry Wayne, you have what God says you have. Jerry Wayne, you can do whatever God says you can do. And don't you forget it. Somebody can relate to that. Go and give him praise right now. He's that kind of good God. Thank you, God. So I'm going to end on this. I won't get to all my points. I'll get it later on. But check this out. I had this vision, and I'm going to end there. Just for your information, you can just write down the next one, and it's activation of the truth. So those are the three things God gave me. It says that you need a revelation of the truth. You need application of the truth. And then the last one, you need activation of the truth. And wow, thank you, Holy Spirit. In fact, you can stand on your feet. Let's get ready to just activate this thing. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I saw this vision of adults that they was recognizing and identifying gifts and talents. You know, that talent could have been like kids having songs or songwritings or dance or sports, geeks, or even, I don't know if I say this, geeks or what? Freaks. You say, Pastor, that's a bad word. No, it's not. Freak means someone that's abnormal behavior. Some people say they're a computer freak or this. It's an enthusiast thing. They're an enthusiast about this. And when it came to electronics, I was a electronics freak when I was growing up. People said, "What's wrong? Why you messing with resistors and transformers and impedance?" And they would look at me and say, "Why?" It just intrigued me. And people were like, "I ain't hanging out with you. Something's wrong with you." I wish I had stuck with it as much as I did when I was in high school, because the desire I had for electronics and electronic technology could help move the world forward. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Man, we were working with heat pumps 30, 40 years ago. They've developed, but I believe they can go farther. None of you surpass it. What does this have to do with anything? It has all to do with knowing who you are. Knowing how God has created you to be different than everybody else. You're a fingerprint. And you don't ever want to be like everybody. I told you how the rest of my family, they're different than I am. But that's good, though. You know, I'm not going to slide with a handkerchief and say, ah. That's not how it was bent. And I don't apologize for people to say, "Well, you don't sweat when you preach." Oh well. But I had this vision again, one more time, of young talent, songwriters, dancers, musicians, and singers, and sports guys, and geeks, and the parents and the adults recognize the gifting within them. It takes us oftentimes to recognize what our children are capable of. Why do some kids start at young age doing great things? because somebody recognized, they said, that boy's got a talent. That girl's got a gift. Do you recognize it? Sometimes the parents are, I don't know. There's something different about that one. You know, when I see the spunk in certain children, it's like, man, God's going to use that for his kingdom. But we've got to recognize that and begin to prophesy and speak that word over their life. Are you with me today? But this vision is that we would create an environment right here to cultivate the gift and the talent that they have. Our vision of establishing innovation and for electrical advances and electrical technology and like for drones and stuff. I mean, people say, well, that's crazy. It's not crazy when you get in an airplane and fly around and they'll have a drone driving one day. What if we could raise our children to tell them that you're not crazy, but perhaps God is speaking to you at a young age? And the next time he says something to you, say like Samuel did, speak, Lord, for your servant hears you. I wish that I had some other people that could believe God with me, to trust God with me, to identify those young minds that might come up with the very answer to whatever our situations might be before us. We're at a place now that we've got to tell them the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is on the inside of you. Somebody give God praise in this house. Woo! Let's bless him real big.